Would you pray together with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have granted us the great and awesome privilege of being people who bear your name, that you have sealed us and we belong to you, O Heavenly Father. Thank you for calling us your children. Thank you for bringing us out of the kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light. We pray now that as your servants in this world, we would be those who first of all pray. We'd be first of all those who remain in constant communion with our Maker and our Sustainer. And Lord, the fact that you have enabled us to do so as Christ intercedes for us and your Spirit intercedes for us, Lord, is an immense, great privilege that we ask we not take for granted. And so, Lord, we lift before you now the requests, the prayers, the burdens of our lives and of our hearts to you. Lord, as many around the world have their thoughts turned to the Middle East this weekend, we pray for peace. We pray for a destruction of violence and a preservation of the innocent. Lord, we pray for freedom for your people, particularly Christians in that land of Iran who would like to be able to worship you freely. We pray for a just end of hostility, that one that is according to your will. We pray for wisdom for those who are making decisions, that they would do that which is right, that which is conducive to human freedom and to flourishing. We trust your will in all things. We pray, Lord, for those in our own midst who are grieving, who are weak, who are downcast in body and in soul. Pray especially this week, Lord, for Jane Farnsworth and for Craig as they mourn the death of Jane's mother. Would you be with them and comfort them as they grieve as a family? We thank you for the fact that Christ has risen from the dead, and that death is not the victor, but in fact has already been defeated. And may that bring to our grief a tinge of hope and expectation. Likewise, Lord, for Bruce Gilland's family as they grieve his passing this week. Pray for his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren as Sammy passed away just over a year ago, and now Bruce, we ask that you would comfort them. Thank you for Bruce and Sammy's years of service and care for members of this congregation and their later time in Florida. Lord, we also pray for others who have passed through our boxes in the last weeks or months as people are undergoing operations and facing illnesses and diseases. Pray for Mark Geringer under hospice care. Would you be with his family as they seek to care for him well? Thank you for his years of faithful service and ministry. Pray for others who perhaps have forgotten or have not heard of, Lord, but you know, and that gives us comfort. In fact, Lord, it gives us more comfort to know that you know the end from the beginning, that you have ordained all things for our good, eternally, for the glory of your name, that it would be hallowed and sanctified and made great among all nations. So, Lord, would you cause us to rely and to trust evermore on you, knowing that you care for us as a shepherd cares for his flock, as a father cares for his children. Because that is who you are, and that is what we are, your children, under your care. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is Psalm 145. So if you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn to Psalm 145. This morning, as we continue looking at the Lord's Prayer, we'll be thinking about the phrase, "Hallowed be thy name." And so I'll warn you, we won't get through all of Psalm 145. It is more like a theme text or a theme passage to guard our or to guide our thoughts as we think about what it means to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." But it is a great psalm to use for that purpose. So if you don't hear me preaching line by line, nevertheless know that this is causing in our hearts a desire to honor, to bring praise to God's name. So would you stand together as we hear from God's word from Psalm 145. a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on all your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call upon him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we think about Jesus' command, his instruction to his disciples to pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We want to think particularly this week about what does it mean to pray, hallowed be thy name, your name. And to get at this question, we're going to ask three very simple questions to help us pray better. We want to know simply, what does it mean, hallowed be thy name? What does that actually mean? And once we understand what it means, we're going to ask, okay, Lord, then why do you ask us to pray that? Why does Jesus tell his disciples to pray that way? Why? And once we understand what we're praying and why, we'll be able to understand how we do so, how we go about praying. Hallowed be thy name, because we want to. We want to follow our Savior's instruction and pray as he taught us. So we're going to ask those three questions. What does it mean? Why do we pray that way? And then how do we pray that way? Well, we begin with, what does it mean? Hallowed be thy name. The phrase, if you pray the Lord's Prayer often, you may have prayed thousands of times in your life. But what does it mean? The word hallowed or hallowed, two or three syllables, you can say it either way. Hallowed be your name. If you go right to the dictionary, it gives a helpful definition. It says it can mean holy or consecrated, sacred, reverenced. Comes, you may obviously see, from the verb to hallow, which means to make holy or to set apart for a particular use, to respect greatly, to venerate. What's venerate mean? It means to regard with respect, with reverential respect, or with admiring deference. All these kind of more like synonyms than definitions, aren't they? But they help us understand what it means to hallow something, to set it apart, to show how it is special, to respect it, to esteem it, to give it the praise and the honor and the glory that it is due. That's why Psalm 145 starts like this. I will extol you, my God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. To extol means to do those same things, to announce with our mouths the greatness and the honor of God. Or Psalm 7, I will sing praise to the name of the Lord. Or Psalm 8, how majestic is your name, how mighty and powerful. I will sing praise to your name, Psalm 9. Or Psalm 18, I will sing praise to your name. Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord the glory to his name. You hear those more, though, those synonyms or those ways we understand what it means to hallow. Or Psalm 34, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us praise his name together. One of my favorites, Psalm 48. As your name, O Lord, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Wherever your name goes, the psalmist says, there your praise ought to be. Your name ought to be hallowed. But maybe you wonder, why do we say hallowed be your name? We've seen what hallowed means, but why his name? Well, simply put, someone's name, especially in the Bible, especially when a name's meanings were attached to the person himself or herself, they were an emblem of a person's character. An emblem of a person's character. Think about this in the Bible. Think of Jacob, which means, you know, grasper or deceiver, because he grasped Esau's heel even as they were coming out of the mother's womb. And so later in his life, what kind of person was he? Well, he was a grasper. He was a deceiver. Think of how he tricked his parents, how he tricked his brother, how he tried to trick Laban and kind of got Jacob back by Laban. Or Moses, whose name meant drawn up or drawn out, because Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the water. And what did Moses become? But one who drew his people out of Egypt, drew his people safely through the Red Sea. Think of Jesus. The Lord, Yahweh, saves. What did Jesus accomplish in his life? He saved, as the Lord himself, his people. So when we pray, Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name, what is our Heavenly Father's name? I just said it. It's Yahweh, which in the Hebrew comes from the verb to be. It speaks to his eternal existence. He didn't have a past and then sort of grow up and change and have some sort of different future. He's always been consistent being and life himself. And so we hallow his name because everything that is true about God is bound up in the fact that he is being, existence, goodness. Every attribute of perfection that he has is permanent, is consistent, is reliable, is faithful from one day to the next. That's why he told Moses to go tell the Israelites, I am has sent you. You think you're in slavery to Egypt, in some sense you are, but I'm the one who is power and being itself. I can easily and I will free you from your slavery. That's why Psalm 105, verse 3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. You can never get to the end of it. You can never get to the depth of it. You can never truly understand all that he is. The greatness of him is tied right there in his name. That's why Psalm 54 will say, oh God, save me by your name. Well, name is just a name, but when it's an emblem of God's character, all that is true about God, he can save you by his name. Or Psalm 22, I will tell your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Those are parallel. Praising him is telling people about God's name, who he is. Psalm 66, sing the glory of his name, give to him glorious praise. You see them are in parallel again. Praise to his name, glorious praise. I had a friend I still have a friend, when we lived in Illinois, who was a patent lawyer. And he worked for the Newell Corporation. You may think, what? The Newell Corporation might not mean anything to you. However, as a patent lawyer, he defended the trademarks and the patents of this corporation. And so if you decided, I want to make a permanent marker, and I want to make it gray, and I want to put a black cap on it. I'm going to put a little clip on the cap. That my friend would sue you because the Newell Corporation made markers like that and called them Sharpies. So if you tried to make a fake Sharpie, or even if you made a marker that didn't look like a Sharpie but was called Sharpie or Sharper, or you try to, you know, change one letter, he would still sue you. Because whether it was the name of the marker or the character of the marker, the way in which it was constructed, its traits, its attributes, they were one and the same. And to try to steal one or to infringe upon one was to infringe upon the other. It belonged properly to the Newell Corporation. So wherever in the world you went and you saw a Sharpie like that, you knew it was the true thing. It was the real deal. Or if you saw a marker from afar that was in the same shape, same sort of ink and construction, you would know that was a dependable, permanent felt tip marker, because the name and the character were one and the same, and they belonged to that corporation. So it is with God's name. All that is true about God is bound up in his name, the one who was and is to come, the Almighty One. And so you see now why Jesus tells us to pray that it be hallowed, that it be set apart, that it be honored, that it be treasured and venerated and respected and esteemed, not only in our prayers, we pray prayers that hallow it, but we pray that it be hallowed by others as well. Really, that's two sides of the same coin. Prayers that hallow his name and prayers that ask his name to be hallowed from one corner of the world to the other. And even as we define these words for ourselves, I hope you can already see why we ought to pray this way, right? And so as we think about the second question, why are we told to pray this way? I want to think about it in terms of God. I want to think about it in terms of our own lives and our own salvation. I want to think about it in terms of the world, about those around us as well. Let's think first about God. If his name is the emblem of his character, then we have no shortage of reasons to hallow and pray that his name be hallowed. I mean, our theme psalm, Psalm 145, says, verse 2, every day I will bless you. I'll praise your name forever and ever. David knows he will never run out of reasons to hallow the name of the Lord. Or Psalm 75, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. Remember, if his name is an emblem of his character, then everything that is true about God is true of his name and what it represents. So he says, your name is near because God is near. So, Lord, I will hallow you because you are near to us, because you have drawn close to us, because you are omnipresent. You are everywhere, and you draw near particularly to your people by your Son and through his Spirit. Or Psalm 89 speaks of those who exalt in your name and by your righteousness are exalted. There, his name and his righteousness are equated. His justice, his being true to his own character is a reason to praise him. Or Psalm 148, his name alone is exalted. His majesty is high above the heavens. There, his name and his majesty are equated. So you could hallow his name because he is majestic, because he is royal, because he has all the trappings of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and rules as one who has such authority over all time and space. If you go down the line of all of God's attributes or his perfections, those things that are true of his character, like the psalmist in verse 2, you would never run out of reasons hallow the name of the Lord. His perfections are of a piece. They're not to be divided or separated or played against one another. No, they are one. His majesty, as we've seen, his nearness, his love, his justice, his faithfulness, his eternality, his immutability, which just means he never changes. His beauty, his moral pureness and beauty, his wisdom, his goodness, all of these are tied to his name because his name represents all that is true of him. Endless reasons to pray, hallowed be your name. Remember, I said I want to think about reasons related to us. We've thought about reasons related to him, but think about your own salvation. Psalm 25, the psalmist prays, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt. For your name's sake, because what is true about you, Lord, I can ask you to forgive me, because I have seen that you are righteous and loving. I have seen that you're faithful and true, and so I can ask for salvation because of what is true of your name. Or Psalm 79, help us, O God, of our salvation. for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for us for your name's sake. The psalmist prays for salvation based on God's name, because he knows God's name represents all that is true of his gracious character to us. The hallowedness, the set-apart nature of God's name is a driver of our salvation, because God places his name upon us. We are known as his people, and he wants his name to be hallowed and sanctified and glorified, and so he hallows and sanctifies and makes us more like him. Do you see that? He gives the name of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to us, that we would be Christians, those who follow Jesus. So he wants to make us more like him, to reflect his character, which is reflected in his name, in us. So we pray that. Of course, sometimes we either forget some of these perfections of the Lord, or we kind of argue with him about them. Are you really that way, Lord? And we doubt and we struggle. We know in our own lives we don't always reflect the goodness of his name, of his character. And so our larger catechism actually reminds us that one reason we pray this is because we need help doing so. It's not really that God would do so, but we ask him to help us hallow his name. You want to know why to pray, "Hallowed be your name." Think of how his own goodness and character has saved you. How he promised that he would forgive you for your sins and did so by the blood of Christ at the cross. And now calls you his children, calls you those who belong to him, are named by him. So you could really go through all those perfections we just thought about and connect them to your own salvation. Because God is faithful, you have been saved. And you will be saved forever, because he won't change his mind on you. Because God is wise in wisdom, he has given us what to the world is foolishness, but to those with the ears to hear is the power of God for salvation, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians. Because God is powerful, he can defeat sin and death and the devil. All that is true about God is reflected in his coming low to get close to us, that we could be brought. Pray, "Hallowed be your name," because of who he is and what he's done for us. Of course, thirdly, we pray because we want others to hallow it as well. Psalm 45 says, "I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever." By passing on the goodness of the name of the Lord to others, by praying that they too would hallow it, psalmist recognizes that nations will praise you forever and ever, that God's glory will be seen from the east to the west, the north and the south. Nations from all over the world are brought to saving faith in Christ. We do this so that this would be true. Psalm 66, all the earth worships and praises you. They bring honor, they bring glory to your name. We pray, "Hallowed be your name," because we want others to hallow it as well. We want others to get a grasp by the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts of all that is true about God. Yes, his holiness, his power, his majesty, that which makes him hate sin, but also his righteousness and his faithfulness and his love that makes him love sinners. And deal with that discrepancy between sin and sinners at the cross, so that we are no longer called unrighteous but righteous in Christ. We want others to see that too. That as our own Psalm 145, verse 5 says, or verse 4, "One generation shall commend your works to another. They shall declare your mighty acts." Not only those around the world, but those in future generations. We want to hallow his name, and so we pray that it would be hallowed. Like I said, this really gets at both sides of what is really the same coin. We pray prayers that hallow his name, reflecting on all that is true about him. And we pray prayers that his name would be hallowed, that he would ultimately be the one who brings about the glory of his name among all generations, as he brings people to know him. So if we wonder, thirdly, okay, how do we do this? How do we pray, "Hallowed be your name"? Again, I hope you're already getting a sense and a feel for how we do this. Well, let's think about it in those same three categories, related to God, related to our own salvation, related to the world, and that others would do so. If you want to know how to pray specifically in your own prayer life, Lord, hallowed be your name, as we praise all that bring honor and respect and veneration to all that is tied up with God's name, his character, his perfections, his godhood. You know, you could just pick a trait and meditate on that and pray upon that. Say, Lord, I'm going to hallow your name and pray that your name would be hallowed as I reflect on your moral purity and beauty today. And go through your mind or through God's word and reflect on the ways in which that is true of the Lord. And as you reflect and praise God for those things, you are hallowing his name. Because his name is that emblem of all that is true about him, emblem of his character. Think about God's wisdom. Think about in your own life, things were happening and you didn't understand what was going on. But later you look back and you saw, wow, God was caring for me in a way I never would have imagined. His wisdom and bringing those things together for his glory, for my good, for the growth of my own faith. Praise him, hallow his name for his wisdom. Or reflect and pray on his justice. You know, the world looks around and sees evildoers maybe getting away with it. Sometimes the innocent are punished as well. But you reflect on how the Lord is just, and that the last day he will condemn the wicked and vindicate all those who believe in his son Jesus. Honor. Hallow his name for his justice. You could go on the list. You could spend a month with a different perfection of the Lord each day, hallowing his name for that aspect of who he is. That's why Psalm 145 says on verse 5, on the glorious splendor of your majesty, on your wondrous works, I will meditate. That word means to chew, to mull over, to think about, to cogitate in prayer. His name would be hallowed. Psalm 99, the Lord is great. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. So the psalmist there is reflecting on how God's name means that he is holy. He is hallowed. So he does so as he prays Psalm 99 or Psalm 109. O Lord my God, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good. Because of your namesake, because your steadfast love is good. There in Psalm 109, again, the psalmist reflects on God's goodness, on his steadfast love. It ties it to the Lord's working for the sake of his name. So you could reflect on his steadfast love, on his goodness. Hallow his name for all that it means for your salvation. Think about how the Lord perfections the goodness of his name was brought to bear on the fact that he called you out of darkness into salvation. Think about what it meant for him to bring life to your dead heart. Or think about what it meant to reflect God's character that he adopted you, that he brought you into his eternal family. Or think and pray about and hallow his name for all that his character is seen in the way in which he is sanctifying you. He is changing you. He is making you more like him. He's making his perfections to bear in your own life, those that he shares with. Or you could reflect on how he is one day going to bring you into glory, and how that glory will be the perfect display with unreflected light, true glory from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise him, hallow his name for that which is true in your own life as he's bringing you to that place. Psalm 106 says, the Lord saved his people for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. You see what was in parallel there. For his name's sake, for the knowledge of his mighty power. That's why he saved them, the psalmist says. Praise him for that. Psalm 115, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your own name be glory. Why? For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Never forgetting, as Psalm 145, verse 8 says, Lord is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. As we pray, thanking the Lord for those things, recognizing how he is revealing those things in our own lives, we hallow his name. We bring honor to the emblem of his character as we display his steadfast love, his mercy, his kindness, his grace, his faithfulness. Of course, we could do this as we pray for others as well. A very interesting statement in Psalm 100 or Psalm 83. The psalmist prays against, in a way, against his enemies, but actually he's really praying for his enemies. He prays this in verse 16: "Fill your enemies' faces with shame, so that they may seek your name." He says, "Let them know how sinful they are, so that they will be driven to you for salvation," which he ties to again to God's name. Fill their faces with shame so that they may seek your name, O Lord, because your name is the only way in which anyone will be saved. How are you brought from death to life, from a state of sin to a state of grace, to a state of eternal condemnation, to a state of eternal bliss? It's by calling upon the name of the Lord, it's by looking upon him as God himself in the flesh took upon your sin, gave you his righteousness, the Lord Jesus, so that all his glories would be yours in the last day. They noticed our psalm finished this way: "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." Remember, we want to hallow the Father's name when we pray, but we want it to be hallowed by others, to be further hallowed, to be perfectly and eternally hallowed as well. We pray verses like verse 21, "Not only my own mouth speaking, but let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." As I conclude my thoughts this morning, I hope you noticed something about my examples, that they're all from the same book. They're all from the book of Psalms. I don't know if I've quoted 15 or 20 or 25 of them, but really, you could pick any psalm and mine its depths to sharpen your prayer for the hallowing of God's name. You remember, don't you, that this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is something we pray as a line-by-line thing, but it's also an instruction, a model for further prayer to that same end. So to pick a psalm and see what it reveals about the character, the name of the Lord, and ask him to be hallowed, to be venerated, to be shown to be holy and righteous and just by whatever that psalm celebrates. Pray that prayer back to God. Now really, you could do this from any page or any verse or any chapter of Scripture, but with the Psalms, it's right there on the surface, and it's so natural. That's why it was given, for that very purpose. But I suspect that as you do so, you'll see more and more of what Pastor Holroyd said last week, that one of the reasons we pray is that we would have deeper fellowship with our Father. That as you reflect on the Lord's character, you're reflecting on him as a person, as a triune being. You're not merely, you know, filling out your theological dictionary with more terms. Speaking to the one who has made you, has formed you, who has revealed himself to you in a way that doesn't cause us to be incinerated with fire, but in a way that brings us close to him. We may know him as he is to be known, as his name is to be known and hallowed. Through the work of Christ by his Spirit, this will be true. See what God's word has to say about the Lord's name and how it is to be hallowed. As you hallow it, recognize and remember and make sure that you're not merely reflecting on a list of perfections, but you're brought into a closer communion with the one who is perfection himself. why the Lord taught us to pray this way, and he knows that he will bless us as we do so. So as I conclude our sermon with prayer, I will pray that the Lord would bless this preaching to all of our hearts, and then I will conclude by inviting us all to pray the Lord's Prayer together. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that he taught us how to pray to you. Thank you for the one who, on the pages of the Gospels, was in constant communion with you, who showed us what it means to be in constant contact with our Father, with our Creator, and by his mercy and grace instructed his disciples and therefore us, and how likewise to communicate with you in a relationship of love. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us through your Son. We pray that you would take this word that we have heard this morning and drive it deep down into our souls, to our very heart and being, that our communion, our communication with you would be deepened, would be broadened and widened and enriched and enlivened and made more vibrant as your Son has brought us near to you by your Spirit. Even as he has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.